Sir Francis Mennell, reel 2.
Besides your religious beliefs that you already mentioned, what were other reasons why you were a conscientious objector?
Oh, much more important, as indeed I stated to my tribunal, were my socialist views and my belief, as George Lansbury believed and all his followers in his newspaper, The Herald, and Lansbury's Weekly believed, that this was no more than a war of one empire against another, no significance whatever in moral terms.
What about your attitude towards pain and killing?
I thought paining and killing and was a horrible thing to do. I felt that way all my life, and I'm ashamed that I'm not a vegetarian. Only there, my difficulty there was when I asked the great Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore about his views, when I was a very young man still. He said, well, after all plants also have life and feelings, so that you do not avoid giving pain, even if you eat only cabbages. It was a difficulty.
When you went before the tribunal, did you have to present your case in somewhat more religious terms than you actually felt, to satisfy them?
No, but I did put it definitely second. My first was the immorality of that particular cause of war.
Did you think there was any difference between Britain and Germany at the time?
Not enough.
Were your feelings towards Ireland, did they have anything to do with your attitude towards the war?
Well, my feelings towards Ireland, I suppose, were an integral part of my mental processes. But I don't see a direct connection there. I suppose that my feelings about the English and Ireland were helped to make me a rebel. Certainly.
And
a strong rebel, but a quiet rebel, not a fisticuffs rebel. Or a rifle rebel.
And possibly increase your conviction of Britain being just one other imperialist country.
Yes, certainly.
To what extent was the war and politics talked about among your friends?
Oh, I think pretty continuously. There wasn't much else to talk about, except the socialist propaganda, the home front, which was a very real one. There was a very, very strong support for pacifism in that context, in the context of the major need for a different attitude towards one's own people. It was a desperate time of poverty and perverse internal cruelty.
Was this a time at which people like you were just learning about the poverty in England?
I'd rather been brought up by my parents to observe that, indeed. The streets of London were always full of beggars and really distressful, terrible-looking cases. My father I remember often when I was out walking with him or running with him, because he walked fast and I was very small, my father always putting a coin into the hand of the beggar that he met, and then kissing that hand, the hand that received the coin.
What was your parents' attitude towards your position against the war?
My father and my mother were against it. They thought that it was a war to end war. That was the slogan that was put over everybody. And they accepted that. My father regretted my attitude. My mother did not really regret it. She thought that I had the right to my own opinion, and therefore she would support me in that opinion. Though it was not hers, not her opinion.
Would it be something that you wouldn't really mention when you were around them, or was it something discussed in your family?
No, I think that when I visited them, as I did, occasionally in their house in Sussex, I tried to avoid the subject. And indeed, there was a time when I thought that my father would rather not be seeing me there. But Stanley Morrison, who has great fame as a historian of printing and so on, and who worked with me at Burns and Oates and then took my place when I left in 1916. Sorry, where am I in my sentence?
You thought that your father didn't want to see you.
No, I thought that maybe he didn't want to see me. And Stanley Morrison, who was in touch with him all the time, absolutely reassured me that that wasn't so. And so I used to go down, take a train to Pulborough, and then bicycle 4 miles there. Then it was thought that possibly the lamp on my bicycle was a signal to Zeppelins. And so I had the policeman told me not to ride with a lamp on my bicycle at night. So I had to drive in the dark, ride in the dark.
You're a spy.
Might have been.
What did your siblings think of your attitude?
My cousins.
Your brothers and sisters.
My brothers and sisters, oh, they are siblings, aren't they? My brother, I have a letter from my mother saying that my brother Everett, who was in the conscription age and was, and I think joined before conscription, but was in a desperate state of doubt about it. My eldest brother, Sebastian, was not fit. So he didn't arise with him at all. He was ill. I have a letter from my mother there somewhere, if it would interest you. In the guard room during my hunger strike, I told my mother that I was hunger striking, but I did not tell her that I was thirst striking as well. And hunger striking was not such an alarming thing to her because, of course, we'd had the suffragettes before the war, and my mother was very much in favour of that cause. My darling, I think you are the happiest of my sons, except the one who is in eternal joy. For you are so sure and certain. Poor Everard is evidently full of doubt, as well as of anxiety for his family. They tell me that you mean to hunger strike, You know the injury to the digestion. It's not easily curable and leads to other things. I believe Father Vassil Phillips told you these facts. I will write again, my dearest. I have to tidy this impossible room for dinner. Everard is coming too, I hope.
Did she always sign her letters like that, with her whole name, instead of writing Mother?
Yes, I'd asked her to do that. I was so proud of her name, Alice Mennell, as she had such a fame in her day as a poet and as an essayist. And Mother didn't mean enough to Alice Mennell, meant everything to me.
What did your brothers and sisters think when they heard about your actions? And did they ever say anything to you about it?
No, they were not. I can't remember having any discussion with them at all. My sister Madeline, who had her 90th birthday the other day, was married to Percy Lucas, a brother of E.V. Lucas, who had fame in his day as an author and editor. And he was all for the war, and was out, in fact, was killed in the war. So naturally, if that was not a subject approachable with her.
Your brother, who was in the war, survived, didn't he?
He survived. I don't think he ever got to the front, but he had TB, unfortunately, and not very long after died.
Was that from conditions in the war?
No, I don't think so. We never set it down at that.
When you decided to do the hunger strike, did you tell Clifford Allen? Or
yes, indeed. Yes, I did.
And what did he say?
That he said, don't... he accepted my principle in doing it, but said, don't make this a propaganda point with other conscientious objectors. And I have here my letter to him, agreeing with that point of view. Is it worthwhile reading that? Doubtfully. So I should not attempt to dissuade them.
What was his main criticism of you? After all, he took part in hunger strikes himself in prison.
I think possibly my success.
Because you avoided prison by so doing.
I avoided prison by so doing, yes, exactly.
Would there be a feeling that you were sort of backing out of it and that by going to prison you'd be making a continuing witness?
Yes, I think that probably was so, yes.
What sort of publicity did your strike have at the time? Did anyone at all know about it, except for your own family?
No. I don't remember any publicity about it. I have absolutely no memory.
And you didn't print anything about it yourself with your own Pelican Press?
No.
Perhaps Clifford Allen would have asked you not to, if you had wished.
I simply don't know about that. No, I don't think he was. I don't think he was really critical of me. He just thought that this was an individual and personal thing, whereas the no conscription fellowship was a great company of people and a vast number of sympathizers.
Do you think the fact that your parents were so well known helped with your release?
No, I don't think. I don't think that anybody that had the decision to make knew of my connection with well-thought-of parents. I've always thought a little bit, though perhaps this is shameful, that a major reason was that the duty officer, should I say the officer on duty or in charge of the guard room where there were these 30 or 40 people, eight of whom were conscientious objectors. The duty officer never visited the guard room and therefore had no means of finding out that I was hunger striking, and that it would have meant a display of his lack of function. I think that certainly must have had something to do with it.